Again, this is another fine study we're going to hear about, the Nurse Family Partnership Contraceptive Study. And I'll introduce Dr. Melnick, and he will introduce his colleague, which will be great. Dr. Melnick is a public health director, health officer for Clark County, Washington, and an adjunct associate professor at Oregon Health and Science University. He's chair of NACHO's Workforce Committee, member of the National Board of Public Health Examiners, trustee of the Washington State Medical Association, and a member of the Board of Directors of the Washington State Association of Local Public Health Officials. He has extensive experience conducting community-based research, and we're very delighted to conclude our session today with a talk about the Nurse Family Partnership Contraceptive Study. So thank you.
Great.
Yep.
Sorry, I just pushed the down button.
Yep.
That?
Great. I just want to introduce my colleague, Marnie Story, who is the public health director at Washington County in Oregon, was formerly at Clark County. And I just want to also mention that Marnie is a RWJ Executive Nurse Fellow, which is pretty prestigious, and is a co-investigator on this study. Let's see, page down. I got it. So basically what we're going to do quickly here is talk, Marnie's going to give you some background about the NFP program and why we added contraceptive component to it, some of the methodology, and then I'll quickly, this is very preliminary, we're spending the next probably 10 months analyzing the data, but we've got some preliminary results to share with you, and then we'll have a discussion slide.
You're right. Okay, and I know we're running kind of short on time, so I'm going to be fairly quick through these slides, and you're happy.
Sure, you have your 15 minutes.
Oh, okay, well, I know people want to get to lunch, though, after us. So, Nurse Family Partnership is an intensive nurse home visit program, extensive scientific research for over 30 years, actually showing benefits, pregnancy outcome benefits, improve child health and development, improve self-sufficiency, economic benefits, and actually we're looking now, the Nurse Family Partnership National Office, at the children and the children's children, so there's generational benefits. There also are family planning benefits, as you can see, reduced subsequent unintended pregnancies and an increased interval between births, so something that we were very interested in. I'm going the wrong way, sorry. And you can see, as I was just saying, benefits to mom and benefits to children, everything from health benefits to social benefits, fewer adjudication, both in moms and kids at age 15. So really life course benefits from this program. So why add a contraceptive component to such a great program was what some people might be thinking now. But as you all know, closely spaced pregnancies have negative outcomes, health, social, and economic outcomes, and we think even a program as great as Nurse Family Partnership can do better, and so that's why we wanted to have this study. So we know that some of the barriers to clinic-based family planning services from multiple studies in the past, we know that affordability is a problem. If you're undocumented, you often don't qualify for Medicaid or other low-income programs that you can access contraceptives. Women typically lose benefits in the postpartum period, usually by 6 weeks, some states, some programs a little bit longer. We also know from talking to women that childcare, transportation, availability of services, all of that can be a problem, taking time off work, getting to the clinic. And then there's the problems of women saying, I'm embarrassed, I don't want to get a pelvic exam, all of those other psychological and clinical barriers. The other thing is, we do a disservice to women, often giving them just, doling out birth control 1 month at a time and really requiring them to keep hopping over all of these barriers that we're putting in front of them. So these are some of the things that we wanted to address. So our study was a clinical controlled study. We had 5 sites in Washington State, which you'll see a map in a couple minutes. Women were eligible if they were less than 33 weeks gestation, and we were able to take women that were English and Spanish speaking clients. And they were randomly assigned to normal NFP services, which is basically an educational component and referral and linkage to care, or the enhanced intervention where the nurses, after training and education, were able to actually dispense hormonal contraception, pills, patches, vaginal rings, and depo. And Alan's going to talk about a little bit more about the study results, but basically we had 3 study aims: determine whether the enhanced group participants had fewer gaps in effective contraceptive coverage, whether the enhanced group had fewer unintended pregnancies, and then we also wanted to look at how pregnancy intention influences or modifies those outcomes. So this is a map of Washington and the sites. We had 5 sites in Seattle, which is kind of up by in the close near to the water, the sound up there, Olympia. These were all Western Washington sites, and then Vancouver, which is right on the border of Washington and Oregon. So I'm going to let Alan now talk about our exciting preliminary study results.
I'll just give you an idea of how we did this. And so during pregnancy, the nurses would actually enroll the clients, the eligible clients, into the study somewhere before 33 weeks. They do a baseline survey and ask a number of questions, and we'll talk about a little bit about that in terms of some of the other variables we're going to look at. And then they get randomized. And every 3 months after delivery, there are a follow-up survey. So we've got 9 data points for some of the participants, and we've got 337 participants. Not all of them did all the surveys, though. Just to give you an idea of the numbers. So the main outcome is number of days, and we actually, doing the surveys, we actually got down to the day without effective contraceptive coverage. And what we mean by effective contraceptives are long-acting reversible contraceptives and hormonal contraceptives. And we did a Poisson regression of the number of days, not using, for those of you methodologists here, in terms of how we looked at it. The second outcome that we showed earlier was about pregnancy, but we knew we were not going to be powered to really, with 337 folks, to be able to really show any results there. But we did look at time to event curves, and I'll show you a graph of that comparing the 2 groups. We just added a slide today about the baseline characteristics. We only have several of them, and that's because, and this is really preliminary, this study was done in complete cooperation with the Nurse Family Partnership National Program in Office. And actually, it's not listed up there, but David Olds is co-investigator on this study. We don't have all we have a data sharing agreement, and we're going to get the NFP client information data. In fact, we already have it. I just can't show it to you to show you the tables, and we actually just got the data, so we haven't really done all the tables of showing. That's where all our demographic data and a lot of other information comes from. So apologize I don't have that, but if you come next year, hopefully we'll have all that for you. We do have, in terms of showing that the randomization kind of worked here, is the mean age is, as you can see there, there's pretty equivalent. We had participants as young as 14 in the study. There was no difference in terms of language choice. There was no difference between the 2 groups in intention on having another baby in the future, or the desired numbers, or even the time frame for the next child. And like I said, there's going to be a whole bunch of other variables that we look at. So here's the results. So these are hot off the press. So the black line at the top is the usual care, and the red line is the enhanced version. And you'll notice that up to 15 months, the enhanced group has fewer gaps in effective contraceptive coverage. And what we don't have up here is that these are all statistically significant. So there is a difference between the 2 groups. You notice that it changes around 16 to 18 months, and then it's pretty equivalent after that. We'll talk about this in the discussion, but from our thinking, the first 15 months in helping people space pregnancies is probably the most critical time period. So we're actually pretty excited about these results, and this is the first time we've shown this anywhere. Well, actually, we've shown them to the nurses. I take that back. We had a celebration event for the nurses who did all the hard work in terms of delivering this intervention. So you're the second group that we've shared this with. This is a table up there to show you the basic results. It's a lousy slide. I'm sorry if you can't see it, but it's basically to give you the confidence intervals and to show you that the results were significant. And if you combine the data to 0 to 12 months and 13 to 24 months, these are our results. Fewer gap days per person days in the enhanced group, as I mentioned. The opposite finding at 18 months and non-significant after that. And the other point I want to make out on this is that in Washington State, in the Nurse Family Partnership Program, and this is a good thing, there's a very high LARC use rate in both in our population. And we had high LARC usage rates in both the enhanced group as well as the regular care group. And I don't have the results for you here. I don't think I do. I do, actually. But we were able to find this effectiveness, even given, you know, when we first did the power analysis to do this study, we didn't anticipate such a high LARC use rate, which is higher than the rest of the country. We didn't anticipate that. So to find that the intervention was effective in spite of the high LARC use rate, we thought was pretty exciting. Okay. So if you look at it, breaking it down, so this just shows you the LARC usage, and actually long-acting reversible contraceptives, more use in the usual care group, but those folks are being referred to clinics more, so it's not surprising. This is a survival analysis of pregnancy, and there's actually really no statistical difference between the two groups, the usual care group and the enhanced care group. We just thought we'd throw it up there, and like I said, I don't think we're really powered to show that. So. This is our last slide, and we're going to finish in time. We're doing good. We're quick. So the intervention appears to reduce gaps in effective contraceptive use for up to 15 months, and that's, as I mentioned, despite the high LARC use rate. The effect reverses after 18 months. It's going to be, we've got data on people involved in study on our study subjects every 3 months, and we continually ask them about their pregnancy intentions. So not only are we going to know whether there's pregnancy intention effect on this, but we're actually going to have a rich data set about how pregnancy intention changes every 3 months, or whether it does change every 3 months. We're thinking that that this intervention really could help people increase the interval to subsequent pregnancy. The next steps are to look at potential moderating values. So we're going to break it down, variables. So we're going to break it down by demographics, intention. We've got a bunch of mediating variables as well. So we've actually asked participants along the line, and then we ask them at baseline in 12 months and 24 months about perceived barriers. We have a whole bunch of questions about self-efficacy that we actually asked in an earlier study, as well as pregnancy intention, which could be both a moderator and a mediator. And then the other piece that we're going to do is one of the criticisms we thought we'd face in terms of dispensing contraception in the home is that if you're not sending women to a clinic, and you're less likely to get, they're less likely to obtain screening for sexually transmitted infection. So if the Washington State IRB approves it after the last third attempt of going through them and changing stuff, we've already gotten approval from about 100 of the participants to have access to their Medicaid data for STI screening. So I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to look at that in at least a subset of 100 of our participants in both the enhanced group and as well as the regular group. So we'll actually be able to address, we think we're going to be able to address that potential criticism. And I think that was it.
Do you want to?
Well, so, I'll be the nurse and I'll jump in. So.
That's real.
Yeah. what the nurses do is they dispense the medication based on standing orders that are signed by their health officers, which are like the medical directors and local health departments in Washington State.
But one thing I want to add to that is the nurses, I don't know if you're going to go there, is that the nurses are free to work with the client to decide which.
Because I was going to add, are they able to change from depo to ring, right, to field to patches, depending on client preference, yeah, and what's happening?
That's what I was going to add, is that it is based on a client-centered approach to, you know, what kind of contraceptive. And to address the LARC issue, we were really clear with the nurses up front that it didn't take them out of the intervention group if the client wanted LARC, and that they should in no way discourage that it really wasn't going to be anything that we looked at from, you know, the study perspective as far as what the nurses were doing. So we're really clear with the nurses. It was one of the, during the training process with the nurses, it was probably one of the most, the largest concerns that they have. And what we did is provided a lot of literature for them to look at, and just talked about sharing this information with their clients. Most of the protocol didn't disallow an estrogen-containing contraceptive, you know, immediately postpartum at any point, but we just asked the nurses to share information with the clients, and the literature is a little shaky on the actual impact on milk and milk supply early in pregnancy. It's a little bit controversial still, so we just shared information, let clients and nurses make the decision.
But you didn't track the breastfeeding rate with the clients who were in the intervention versus control group? Don't you have that data as well?
We do have breastfeeding data, so I'm sure that we'll be looking at that. Absolutely.
We've got about 10 months to do some more analysis, so we will definitely be looking at that.
I have something too. Several years ago, we were repositioning a lactational amenorrhea method, trying to get the healthcare providers overseeing to understand that exclusive breastfeeding, there is a delay in fertility. And I would like to know, or your nurses trained in that, so that they can encourage exclusive breastfeeding and have the assurance that it has that 1% chance of becoming pregnant during this exclusive time. Most women, they're all one case, you know, she'll get pregnant. But if she's trained, and I think all nurses should be trained in that, and I would encourage you to put that in, because it is going to affect the exclusive rate in women who are breastfeeding, who can get the contraceptive on a home visit. So that's one very deep concern I have.
Yeah, and most of the teams either have a lactation consultant on the team or have direct access, and we talked a lot about this, and it's something that is one of the measures that the National Nurse Family Partnership Program looks at. What I will tell you is the conversation we had, interview as part of the training, and the conversation with the parent was, you know, are they exclusively breastfeeding, and then talking to them about the risk of pregnancy as their breastfeeding pattern changes, and really a decision, it's really the parent's decision about when they want to introduce the contraception. And we wanted it to be there the minute they were ready, the minute they wanted it, or if they knew they were going to start weaning from breastfeeding for a million different reasons, then, you know, the nurses could provide that anticipatory guidance and contraceptions and contraceptive methods anticipatorily.
I hate that the fear of a pregnancy would not be understood by that healthcare provider. So there's a lot of information on lactation and intermediate methods that people should know about.
Are there any questions for any of the other speakers?
So did you see that
predictors of the GPT test, so no. And to the second one, I don't know, does anyone have an answer for that? Any testing? I know there is a real pattern now to go back to the A1C degree as normal, even in some of the health centers that we're now in doing our follow-up studies, which, you know, again, it's not the guideline, but it is practical and better than nothing.
I couldn't hear the question.
Is there anything underway to create a new test that's both sensitive and easier?
Actually ask that question specifically, and I feel to some extent certain that they can do any of that.